I love you guys, and I really appreciate your affection for Debbie Klaber, and I, my family, we love Debbie and her family, but you know, you guys giving her an ovation like that, you guys should clap for Dan, too, because if you guys ever been around Dan and seen how he eats, he probably had 2 mild heart attacks this week and just didn't know it, so we should clap for That's so bad, isn't it? I just wanted to make sure you guys were awake. It's great to have Debbie back and 100%. And Debbie, next time, feel free to sit down as we're singing our music. You take it easy. We want to keep you around. So, well, guys, if you weren't here last week, we started a 3-week series about the church, and it's entitled It's Us or Else, because the church is God's plan A. And if you weren't here last week, as opposed to me recapping for 15 minutes, I encourage you to go to the website and listen to last week's message, because today we are in week 2 of the fact that it is us or else. Guys, the church is God's plan A in today's world. And last week we had 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, if we could put that up there. I'm going to let you guys read that as I talk. I believe that that describes the world today. I believe, and I'm not one of those end timers that thinks that Jesus might come back today, but he might. We don't know. And so we need to be urgent and desperate and serious about what we're doing. I just have never seen the world at a point where there's such anger and such uncontrollable urges and vitriol and hatred. I've never seen just such division in my 39 years. I've never seen such despair and hopelessness and people making bad decisions. I know the world's always been wicked and sinful, but my goodness, I believe that it's just, we're in a rough time, and we as a church should be so serious about what we're doing, because heaven and hell and eternity are at stake. And I believe that the church is just God's plan A. And if you weren't here last week and talking about the church, we talked about Matthew chapter 16:15, that at the end of the day, guys, for the church to be the church, for souls to be saved, for there to be life change, culture change, for revival to come to Hoopston. You know what? I don't believe that for revival to come to Hoopston, we need to put up a tent and have an old-fashioned revival for a week, like I get an email about once a month. Not that that would be bad. You want revival to come to church, to Hoopston, Illinois? You want to see lost turn into saved and dark turn into light and our culture change? Here's how that happens. You get serious about the answer to this question. Jesus, we did this last week. Jesus says, who do you say that I am? So if I looked at you this morning and said, who do you say Jesus is? Well, he's Jesus. Who's he to you? When you live your daily life, when you love people, treat people, when you fast, when you pray for your church, what is your life about? Because I believe and know that God is still building his church. Jesus is coming back for the church, and we're the only organization. There's a lot of great organizations in the world, in our community, but we're the only one that's going to last, is the church, is us in Jesus Christ. So we must live and take this, our gospel message, out. And again, if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to listen to it on the website. The church is about one thing alone. It's Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian this morning and you think, yeah, I'm saved and going to heaven, your life is about Jesus Christ, number one. More than your spouse, your kids, your job, any of those things. He's your foundation. And he, not Peter, is the foundation upon which the church is built. We talked about that last week. We get that confused, that Peter is the rock and he is a big... Where does that rock set? That rock sets on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The church is built on Jesus alone, not denomination, not Peter, not tradition or music or pastor or pastors. It's Jesus alone. And when our lives are built on the foundation of Jesus alone, the church will go forward in hell and nothing else will stand against us. We're God's plan A. The church means a gathering of believers. It means a body of believers united. And there's no plan B. It's us or else. I want you to do this morning. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, it's us or else. No, really. Look at your neighbor right now and say, it's us or else. Go. It's us or else. Now I want you to look at me and say, that's scary. I mean, I make a joke about that, but that's not a joke if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Forget religion and any of that other stuff. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and I am, and we are as a group, it is us or else. Who else has God called? Who has he commissioned and commanded? Nobody. So when you look at your neighbor and do that, and like, that's scary. And you look at me and think, that's scary. That's serious. It is us or else. There's nobody else that's going to live and show Jesus. Who else on the planet Earth has the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, living in their hearts and lives? Who else can be plugged into Jesus? Who else is commissioned, commanded to love people and to serve people and to be the church but us? And every church who's a Bible-believing church on the foundation of Jesus and of love and of the truth of God's Word, it's us. I don't mean just the church of God. I mean all. Oh, there's only one church in the world. It's us. It's us or else. So do you live life and life each day and love people and look at things like it's you or else? Because it is. I can't do it. The church is a building. It just sits here. It's you and I or else. And so guys, today we're going to go over several things that I believe are critical to us being the church, to us succeeding, to us reaching lost people, for salvation occurring, for us loving people, for us being the church. So I do this occasionally, but I'm going to, like today, like never before, take notes. There are pens all around you. There's a section for notes in your bulletin. You've got devices. I want you to take notes. And if that's uncomfortable, I didn't come here to take notes. I'm just asking you personally, please take notes. Because if this is important, if we're actually going to divide God's Word and we're talking about stuff over the next 20, 25 minutes that can have eternal consequences, it's worth remembering. It's worth writing down. And studies are quite clear that when you write it down, you remember it better. And guess what? Tell me anything from the sermon from 6 weeks ago today, 6 weeks ago Sunday. You can't. But if you got notes at home, you can. And I might say something today from God's Word that you're like, wow. You will have forgotten it in a week unless you've written it down. So I'm just asking you to take notes because this is important. If you're a disciple, you're a follower of Jesus, and that means you're a student. You're a student. Do you take your relationship with Jesus seriously? I just encourage you to take notes. You are welcome for the guilt trip. Okay. The guys, you and we are part of something big. This is the church. This is eternal. He wants the world to wake up. He's patient that no one should perish. The reason the church exists and God is still building it in 2016 is He wants everyone in heaven with Him for eternity. There will one day be a family reunion. There will be, the trumpet will sound. I'm not going to do eschatology. But one day there will be a judgment. We will all be in heaven or hell. There's no in between. And He wants His children. He wants you and I. He wants the people in your family lives that are lost and that don't know Him. He wants them there. So He is building and is using the church to make that happen. Amen. Well, that happens when we're part of that because we're the church. It's really up to you and it's up to me. And that's scary, but that's also challenging. And I love it because eternity is coming for everyone. This is so serious. That's so unimaginable, but it's true. And there's only one way to get there. Not just believing He exists, not being a good person, not just sitting in church, although you'll part of the church if you love Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father is through a relationship with Him. And if you're in that relationship, you will be serious. And yes, you'll be passionate about being part of this gathering together of believers. So if you're part of the church, and this is such a big deal, what the church is, then what do we do and what are you supposed to do? Well, today I'm going to give you four things that the church is supposed to do. It's not a comprehensive list, but it's four of, I believe, the most important things. And number one and four, if you could say, what is the purpose of the church? What are the two most important things? One and four are those, and so that's why you need to take notes. And number one is this. Number one is we're here to reach the lost. Yeah, there we go with that again. You're going to tell me to be in the Word today too, aren't you? I probably am, yeah. Because guys, we're human, we're fallible, we're inherently sinful, we drift, we need to hear these things consistently. But number one is to reach people, to reach lost people. No matter what we do, no matter what programming we have or whatever we do, it's our job to reach people for Jesus, to reach them with the message of Jesus, to reach them with the message of, as the early church did, that there is no other name under heaven and earth by which you can be saved. You must repent from your sins and turn to Jesus to be saved. You must. That is our message, to reach more people for Jesus. So if the church, if a church isn't growing, whose fault is it? Say ours. If our church doesn't grow, whose fault is it? Ours. It's not mine, it's not the elders, it's not certain people, it's us together. If you are a Christian and your faith is in Jesus, you will love and treat people and tell people and serve people and show people. You'll be different. You'll be perfect, but you'll be different. And people will see that and be like, what is it about that person? And man, I think we ought to have churches full of more people and more pastors that love people that way, that are authentic in that way, that care about people in that way. Where this world who doesn't understand a thing about God, they think they do, but most of them don't. They look at us and say, something's different about you. And man, if we're all like that, unbelievable. And I believe that we'll be held accountable for reaching people for Jesus and for growing. I do. My soul is saved, but that doesn't mean I can just now do whatever I want. It means I have a job to do. It means I want to tell other people about Jesus and about how He changed my life and loves me and forgave me, and that I can know that I'm going to heaven. I can know that my life has a purpose and is working together for good. And Jesus said that He's given us the keys to the kingdom, and He's given you a great commission, hasn't He? To go and to make disciples. He's empowered you and He's equipped you to do that and to reach people. The number one job of the church will always be to reach people, to make disciples. And if a church isn't reaching people, if a church isn't trying to reach people, they ought to close their doors today. And if we ever stop trying to reach people, let's shut it down. And I'll go even a step further and say, if there's a church that isn't interested in reaching lost people, they're not even a church. I don't care what the sign says. I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm saying keep that in mind. We must always be trying to reach people for Jesus and love people for Jesus and see them saved and have baptisms be happening. These things ought to be going on, and we will never, ever stop trying. When I say we, that's you and I. And for some of you here, you need to start trying and to be a part of that. And it's uncomfortable and it's sacrificial and it can be awkward, but what does that look like? So I'm going to give you a couple ways here that you can be a part of reaching people for Jesus and how you do that. Now, here's a test. I'm going to say one more time. If you're not taking notes, now's a great time to start, because I'm going to tell you how you can be a part of reaching people for Jesus. And I'm going to give you something else here that's going to probably not make some of you happy with me, but that's okay, because I care about eternity and you and souls more than I do you liking me, even though I want you to like me. Is if you're not taking notes, and I just said, you are a Christian here today, I'm going to tell you how you can reach lost people for Jesus, and you're still like, yeah, I'm not taking notes. You need to really assess your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm sitting here saying we're going to go over ways that we can reach people for Jesus. Maybe you want to write this down. And this isn't comprehensive. It's not perfect. I'm not looking to see who's taking notes. That's up to you. Ways that you can reach people for Jesus. Number one, it's going to start with an invitation. See, if you're living and loving in a way to where you're a Christian, it's obvious that you are plugged into the vine, you're in God's Word, you're a kind lover of people, a lover of Christ, your life is different, you're holy, you're all these things. When you invite people, they'll listen. What we can't do is argue with people and have drama and treat people however we want and live however we want and say, well, now I'm going to invite someone to church. They don't seem to be interested. Sometimes they're not interested, get this, because our lives aren't interesting. Not that I'm saying you got to be real interesting, because I'm not. But how we live should be interesting. It should be a life that makes them want to respond to that invitation. See, that's what Jesus did. He always gave a no-strings invitation. And now, who should you be inviting? Anybody you can. You know, when Jesus went and He invited His disciples, there weren't strings. They weren't religious. They weren't in the priest program. They weren't any of these things. He just said, will you follow me? And so you guys just have to be inviting people. Hey, this is what Jesus did for my life. I love my church. I'm part of this thing that will last forever, that is a wonderful place and to be a part of. And would you maybe want to come sometime? You have to start with an invitation. Number two, you have to be intentional. You have to really be intentional in reaching people for Jesus. As a church, we have to be intentional. I mean, a lot of stuff we do and a lot of the little things that maybe you don't even always see, we're always being intentional. And I am always being intentional. When I meet someone, if I get called to a hospital or a funeral home or a family or I'm going out, I'm always in the back of my mind, how can I, without making it seem like I wanted to, how can I turn the conversation to Christ? How can I bring up church? How can I bring up faith? How can I bring up life and death without just, hey, how you doing? I'm Pastor Micah. I don't do that. But I'm always thinking, how can I get an in? How can I be intentional? You guys know Jesus was always very intentional. He didn't waste a lot of conversations, a lot of time, a lot of His life. I want to ask you if you're being intentional and purposeful in trying to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, as the Bible says that you are if you're a Christian. You're an ambassador. And one test I always like to do, and I want to ask you this morning, is what if you were like the ambassador? You know how we have ambassadors to other countries? Let me ask you something. What if you were the ambassador for Jesus Christ in Hoopston? Just you. What kind of shape would the church be in? Maybe great. Maybe not good. If you claim to be a Christian, you need to ask yourself that. If I were the ambassador for Jesus Christ to Hoopston, what would we look like? It's a serious question. And if you're answering that and you're kind of like slithering down in the chair, just pray about it. Maybe repent. Maybe ask God to change your heart. Maybe change some things in your life. Number three is you got to also get out of your comfort zone. We say that a lot because, guys, I understand. Jesus understood. God understands because he knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. Is that it is such human nature to be comfortable. Some of you came to church today subconsciously or consciously with your only goal was to come and get out of here and without being having to do anything different or change. Here I come to church every Sunday, but I just want to come and go. I've been coming a long time. Some of you need to change. Get out of your comfort zone. Change the way you think. Change the way you act and do things. Because that comfort zone can become a rut very easily. It can become a rut. It can become a spiritual rut. And I know it's hard to change, but is Jesus worth it? Do you love him? You've got to be purposeful. Jesus was purposeful. Guys, don't let there be people you know that go into eternity when that day comes that are separated, that go into their death, going to go to hell because you didn't tell them. Because you weren't purposeful. Because you just kept going to work. You kept seeing them. You kept talking to them. And the first thing you wanted to do because it was comfortable was get the conversation to politics or sports or fishing or hunting or the wives or the husbands or the kids. Those are good conversations to have. But are you purposeful with people you know that are lost? You have to be. That's being the church. You've got to be purposeful. God has placed you where you are on purpose. You're not here by accident. You don't live where you live by accident. You don't work where you work. You're not part of what family you're a part of. It's all for a purpose. And if you're a follower of Jesus, it's for a purpose to reach them. You have a job to do. One of those is to be purposeful. It's to invite people to church, to talk about Jesus, to invite them to things, to tell them about what your Lord has done for you. I want to do something this morning. If you're here in church, now, some of you I know, maybe you were just raised in church, but if you have ever been invited or you're here or you got saved or you're part of something because you were ever invited or asked to come to church, raise your hand. Keep them up. 90% of us? Okay, thank you. 90% of you. So shouldn't you be doing the same for others? Shouldn't you be, you want to know why? One of the reasons why I'm back in church? Because I had a faithful family who, when I was very wayward, they prayed for me. They fasted for me. My grandma tells stories. She's still alive, 92, of fasting for me, for my soul. Because I was wayward and prodigal and out living in the world and recklessly and wild. What if she'd never fasted for me? I may not be standing here. I might be dead. Who knows? She was purposeful. She fasted for me. I had people, I had my pastor and others that loved me and would say, hey, man, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? How are you living? They were purposeful. That wasn't comfortable for them, but they did it. And we should be doing that for others. But two things again this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've got to be making sure you're living your life in such a way that you have credibility. And you've got to understand, someone's salvation may start and will start with you when you're purposeful. You loving them, you serving, you inviting them to church, you just being what God's Word tells you to be. You guys know when we live God's Word, it works. I'm not saying every I and every T. We are human and we are frail, we are fallible, but when you're purposeful about it. Who are you really trying to get to church or to talk to Jesus about in your life? There should be someone. There should be people. I spent hours yesterday talking to people about Jesus. Oh, you're the pastor. It's your job. It's your job too. You're a follower of Jesus. Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them and telling them everything about me. And Jesus says, I've given you the keys. I've given you everything you need, and I'll be with you till the end of the age. Until you die or I come back, Jesus says, I will help you do this. The first purpose of the church will always be to reach people. Second purpose should be a place where this should be a place where you learn and grow. The Great Commission, again. Jesus tells us to teach and to obey the things that he and his word teach us. This should be a place where you learn and grow. We should be learning and growing together. If you have sat in church week after week after week and month and month and after year and year after year and you don't know the Bible or you don't even begin to understand or grasp, it's not too late to start, but you better start. We should be learning and growing together, like taking notes. Very important. We should be learning and growing together. I think it's just, this is always going to be a place where the Bible and God's truth is taught. You will always hear God's word taught here. And you've got to be learning and then putting into practice God's word. In Acts 2:42, I'm just going to read that real quick this morning. Acts 2:42 says this. It's after Peter preached, etc. It said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And they continued steadfastly. Some translations will say they were devoted. And it says, "and they." You know who they is? It was all of them. It was the whole church. It wasn't the pastor. It wasn't just those people. I get tired of people looking at someone and saying, "Boy, they're really a Christian." What are you? What am I? Followers of Jesus or not? You can't be kind of a Christian, can you? We are or we aren't. So it says, they were devoted, they were steadfast, are you? So how do you learn and grow? Here we go with the notes again. Number one, best way to learn and grow, be here. Be present. Yeah, that's right. Here we go again. We've already done being God's Word. Now we're going to go with not just Sunday. Busy schedule stuff, Sunday school, Bible studies. Stuff, you can do it in your home, you can do it with other Christians. I would love for more of you to come and say to me, "I want to start a Bible study." It happens a couple times a year. I'm like, man, we ought to be fighting you guys off. Hey, God gave me something for women or men or husbands or fathers or youth or people who were divorced or widowed or whatever. You guys know we're a church where my job's to equip you to do ministry. You can do ministry. You want to start a study? You want to start a small group? You want to get together? You got an idea? Great. Let's do it. You've got to be present to learn and grow. To be a disciple, make no mistake, you'll never get to be a disciple without being present and learning and growing. You just won't. Paul said to never forsake the regular gathering together. Now, what's regular this day and age? I don't know. You go to work 8 hours a day? You eat 3 meals a day? 4, 5, whatever? I mean, seriously, your kids get to school 5 days a week for 8 hours a day? So is 1 hour on Sunday regular gathering together? I'd say not. I'd say it's a good start, but I'm not sure that it's a regular gathering together. Like taking notes, not when your pastor guilts you, but because you're like, this is God's word. Something's going to be said today that I know is going to affect and help my life and help me reach more people for Jesus. Be a student. All Christians are disciples. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you're a disciple. Disciples are students. Are you a student of God's Word? You're never going to learn and grow and be a disciple if you're not a student of God's Word. I'm not saying I read the Bible 8 hours a day, but man, I'm in it and I'm going to it because it's that important. Something kind of came to me as I was as doing this message, and I think sometimes... again, it's our human nature to try to compartmentalize and, oh, I'm a Christian, but that's just a part of my life. And when we talk about being a disciple and learning and growing and being intentional and purposeful, we are to be disciples. And you know what disciples do? Disciples make disciples. Guys, if your heart belongs to Jesus, if you're surrendered to Him, you've been baptized into Him, His Holy Spirit lives in you, you're a student of His Word, you're part of church, you care about reaching people, you'll be making disciples. Your life will have effect on other lives. There's a great litmus test of where your faith is. Is your life affecting lives? And there's one thing I think we need to talk about here today. It's this, and about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. There are standards in the kingdom of God, guys. You can't live any way you want and expect to go to heaven. Now, we are never going to be a church that preaches, it's works-based and you've got to live. And, we're not perfect. We're not allowed to just be willfully sinful, but we're not. But there are standards. It's not just live however, whatever. You must have your faith and your life in Him, and your life must be surrendered to Jesus. You then will get baptized. You then will be part of church. You will care about reaching people. You will be a student of God's Word. You will be present. You won't be living willfully disobediently to God's word. Well, I don't know really what God's word says. That's disobedience. You've got to learn it. You've got to be a student of God's word. And guys, it is our responsibility to teach this generation about Jesus. And I don't think it's happening. I'm not saying it's our fault, but it's not happening. People don't know these days what God's word says. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. A little bit in the church, but especially in the world. You know how many times I hear, I think, when we're talking about God's word or about something relevant to society or life? Well, you know, the Bible says, and before I can even get that out, they're like, well, here's what I think. I don't care what you think. And I don't care what I think. I care what God's word says. But we are becoming an I think and an opinion generation because we don't know God's word. So many times in the church, when I was still on Facebook, and again, we love all people, and I'm not picking on this, but two gay people get married, and I'm seeing church people that are here every Sunday, like. I love the people. I'm not judging them. I'm not better than them, but I don't like when we sanctify sin. I just don't. I got myself to worry about, trust me, and I want people to live in truth, and they can't live in truth if we're clapping sin. Because the reason we do that is we don't know what God's word says about love and about right and about wrong. We got to do a better job of learning it so we can live it and show it and teach it. That's so important. And again, if you're relying on me in 30 minutes every week, you're not going to get enough. We have a lot of great teachers in this church. I'm not one of them. I'm pastor. But we have some great teachers. I don't believe I'm one of them. I believe we have a lot of them that are going to be teaching here in about 15 minutes. One of those really crowded Sunday school rooms. To reach people, to learn and grow. And the third is to partner together. If you're a follower of Jesus, who do you have in the church that you're partnering together with? Hey, I got friends in the church. I got buddies. I don't know, do you guys talk about Jesus? Do you talk about how you're leading your husbands and wives? Do you talk about your prayer time? Do you talk about your lives? Or do you come in Sunday and probably this year it's the election and it's this and it's that? You need to be partnering together with people from your church. And your church needs you. You have talents and gifts and resources and things God's given us. And it's our responsibility to use them to the fullest, even sacrificially. Because we're part of something eternal. We're part of the church, the body of Jesus Christ, God's plan A. Jesus is the Messiah. Do you believe what this book says? Do you believe that He's coming again? Do you believe He died for your sins? Do you believe there's a heaven and hell? Then you also ought to believe and know that He's going to judge us and that He is real and He's our Savior. We need to be unified together. That's the church. To be doing this thing called life and to be doing church together. Together. You are needed. Not half or two-thirds of the time. Not to give when convenient or serve if comfortable or think someone else will do it. But you're needed. Because we're the church. This is eternity and life and death and heaven and hell. And amen for Easter. We ought to be that excited every day, not just every Sunday. My goodness of what Jesus did for us. In Revelation 3, and here's something, guys. You know, this happens to me at times. I have to purposefully fight against this. In Revelation chapter 3, I'll just go there real quick. It was the church at, I believe, Laodicea. I know that's a fancy word. It was just a church. We could say Hopeston or Danville or Rankin or New York or whatever. Because this is human nature. Jesus is speaking to the church and He's saying, I know your works. You're not hot or cold. He goes, I wish you would just decide. Because sometimes here's what this church had did and here's what we can do and I fight against. It says that we can sit here and say, hey, I'm rich and have become wealthy and I don't have need of anything. I'm a pretty good Christian. I come to church. Shoot, I work for the church. I'm good. And then he goes on to say, no, be desperate, be humble, stay broken. Stay desperate to reach lost people. You are in need of me, Jesus says. You're in need of me every day, every hour. What's the old hymn say? Every hour I need thee. That's got to be your heart because you do. You and me, we can slip into sin. We can slip away. We can become numb. We can get the old belly full syndrome. You just had Sunday lunch, you're comfortable, you want a nap. Some of us as Christians are living our walks and our church lives that way where we're just full and we're taking a nap. We're partnering together to reach lost people, to take the message of life and death, of eternity, of Jesus Christ, of love, of amazing grace into our world. We are the ambassadors. We are the messengers. To reach people, to learn and grow, to partner together in our fourth one. I said one and four were the keys. Because see, here's the keys to one, two, and three right here. Here's the key to wanting to reach people. Here's the key to wanting to learn and grow. Here's the key to wanting to partner together. You're not going to want to partner with anybody if you don't have a heart of love. The fourth purpose of the church is to love. And guys, I don't care how Christian you are, it is hard to love people. But if we as a church aren't loving, we're in big trouble. And so often we're not partnering together. We're not learning and growing together. Because I can look and you can look and see people and things and they're this and they're that. And that's not a heart of love. Stop that. Some of us have become jaded on how to love people. Because we get so angry. I go to the grocery store and I'm buying generic and they've got a link card and they're buying ribeye steak. And I work hard and that's not fair. That's not a heart of love. Maybe you should thank God that you work hard. Maybe you should thank God you have a good job. Maybe you should thank God that you have. Maybe you should feel sympathy that for whatever reason, whether it be taking advantage of the system, genuinely in need, or anything in between, maybe you should look and just be like, I'll pray for that person. Maybe I'll invite him to church. Maybe I'll love on him. Maybe whatever. And that's just one random, almost irrelevant example. But we should be loving people. Love does. Love's an action verb. Love tells the truth. Love serves. Love sacrifices. Does this sound like your faith? Love is in action. Love is based on the truth of God's word. Are you serving the church and others? Let me ask you, what has your faith cost you lately? What have you done out of love lately? Can you identify anything? And I hope all of you can. But if not, what have you done out of love lately? What olive branch have you extended to someone? What forgiveness have you extended? What have you done out of love lately? In Matthew 22, people were asking Jesus about this. They were asking him and they were trying to, whether the Pharisees were trying to trip him up, whatever. They were asking Jesus. They're like, man, this sounds so complicated, Jesus. What should we do? And you guys probably know the verses. And Jesus said, here's what's most important. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, but the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things, everything hangs. Everything hangs on what? On love. And guys, it's so easy to sit in church, to try to follow Jesus, even to be in the Word, etc. It's so easy because of our flesh and our human nature to not love. People are hard to love. I'm hard to love. I get it. Ask my wife and kids. Ask Cinnamon, who has to be with me every day out in the office. Ask Tom and my elders and ask my friends. I'm hard to love sometimes. Guys, we have to love each other better. We really do. We have to love each other better. This was Jesus cutting to the chase. And let me tell you what Jesus did that if you're a Christian, if you're Christ-like, you should be doing. Please listen to this, and if you're taking notes, Jesus loved the unlovable. He loved the unforgivable. He loved the outcasts. He loved the people that had been given up on. Jesus left the crowds that were like Jesus and his followers, and he left the throngs, and he got on a boat and went to an island where a crazy, dangerous man was who was possessed because he cared about him. This guy was dangerous. I mean, seriously. I think some of us here today, some of you here today, you've given up on people. You've got walls up. People disappoint you or do something that frustrates you or you know, they're a Christian but they did this or they said that, I can't believe it, so you check them off. You write them off. That's not love. Some of you have given up on Hoopston. I mean, I haven't. That's what we're here for, all of us. But man, I get so frustrated sometimes with this and with these people. Why don't you love them? Some of you have given up on others in your church because they offended you, they made you mad. So many people leave the church because they get offended, or I say something that, are you serious? Your relationship with Jesus is so fragile that you will just leave him. You will leave his bride. You will give up because somebody smarted off to your kid or something. So dumb. You've got to love people. How do you love people? Number one, you extend grace. You extend grace. Brandon, could we get an usher to shut those doors, please? We got people coming in and out. Thank you. We'll be done in a couple minutes. Number one, to love people is you extend grace. You have to give people grace. The Bible says that if we don't give people grace, we won't get it. The Bible says, Brandon, would you close those doors, please? Thank you. The Bible says if we don't give grace, we won't get it. So we have to give people grace. They don't deserve it. They this, they that. You don't deserve it either. I don't deserve it either. To love people by giving them grace. You have to be extraordinary in how you forgive people. God Himself came down to earth extraordinarily and took beatings and ridicule and mocking and punishment and death on the cross to love and give you grace. Should you give people grace in an extraordinary way? Should you give them the benefit of the doubt? Should you think the best? Number two is you have to be patient with people. This is how you love people. You're patient with them. People need you to be patient with them. Love is patient. Love is kind. You need to overlook. I see people so often where their faith just does this because someone in the church has done this. It happens with me. Oh, that Micah, he's... Yeah, I am. What does it have to do with Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him? I need you to overlook me. I can say stupid stuff. I can be snarky. I don't always treat my wife like I should. I can be insecure. I can sometimes try to be funny, and I'm not. Sometimes I'm not in the office every time you need me because I may be doing something else, or I'm just not there, and I disappoint you, and I could go on, but I need you to be patient with me. But I need you to be patient with people because I'm assuming a little easier to be patient with than a lot of people you face throughout your week. But you need to be patient with them, and you need to love them and be kind and extend grace to them. The third and final way you love people is you reach out to the forgotten. Let me tell you something. People in Hoopston think they're forgotten. It's one of the first things we notice, and I still notice it when I'm here, how so often in the evening there's not a whole lot of traffic on the streets. And I don't think that's because there's not a lot to do. I don't buy any of that. It's because people just think they're forgotten. People are today in society and here more than ever are isolated, and that's dangerous. They're holed up, whether it's watching TV or drinking or doing drugs or sleeping or just whatever it is. They're isolated more than ever because they think that they're forgotten and unlovable, but they're not, are they? Did Jesus die for them? Does God call you to love and to reach them and to reach out to them? When was the last time you reached out and got messy in a situation in the name of Jesus? That's right. Well, it's not my business. I don't know. Yeah, it is. If you have the message and the hope of Jesus Christ in your heart and life, won't that be something you want to share with others? Well, when it's convenient, no. Whenever you can. Whenever you can. Love people. Jesus came. The universe exists. You're here. You're saved. Or you can get saved today because of love. And this is the church. It's grace and mercy. And if we aren't careful, the message of Jesus and of love, if we're not careful, we'll keep this love so inclusive that we'll become exclusive. We never want to be exclusive as a church. I love when I hear people criticize our church and say, they'll just take anybody out there. Hallelujah. Not that that means, yeah, come, live however you want. You know, you've heard our truth preached here. That's not how we think. But you're welcome. Come as you are. Come and follow me, Jesus says. You can be discipled. You can be all these things. That's up to you. That's up to the individual. I'm one person. I can't control how 300 people live their lives. But you are welcome because Jesus loves you. And He died not only to save your soul, but to change your life. And that's not an exclusive message at all. Love the unlovable. Forgive. Go out there today, this week, and reach people. If you're a Christian, reach out. Forgive and love and be patient. take an opportunity to do good to a lost and dying and broken world, to tell them about Jesus, to show them. Be an encourager. Be a peacemaker. Be light. Love people right where they are. Write that one down if you're taking notes. Love them how they are. That's hard. That'll take you having a humble heart that's surrendered to Jesus. That'll take all those things. Love people right where they are, and then let your life point them to Jesus. Some of us here today need to pray to love people better, to overlook offenses, to be humble, to start loving God and others. And in just a moment, we're just going to play a video, and the words aren't perfect, and it's got some background pictures. You don't forget all that. I want you to focus on the words. You've probably heard the song. But as it plays, if it speaks to your heart, I want to welcome you to come and pray. Maybe you need to give your heart and life to Jesus. Maybe you need to pray that people will. Maybe you need to pray. If we're honest with ourselves, here's the number one thing that anyone that comes or prays at their seat or come up here and you can pray by yourself, I'll pray with you. We need to pray to love people better. We need to, for all the stuff about being in the church, it all reaching people, all that, that'll happen when you and I commit and humble ourselves and pray and say, God, please help me to love people better. Help me to love people like you love me. Help me to give people grace like you give me grace. The whole world will know we're the church when we love one another. Guys, this world is desperate for something. They're desperate for something real. They're desperate for hope and for love. And what? Who has that message but us, the church? It's us or else. And so as this video plays, guys, you're welcome to pray at your seat, pray with someone around you. Come up here and pray that you and that we as the church will love people better.